Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn here, joined by Andy Holding to look ahead to a cracking card at Leopardstown on Sunday afternoon. We've got trials galore. We've got a 1,000 guineas trial. We've got a derby trial. We've got a Group 3 contest. Competitive handicaps as well. Plenty of action to look forward to. And hopefully we can direct you towards a winner or two. Good morning, Mr. Holding.
Morning, Alex.
How the devil are you?
Yeah, good, yeah. A nice couple of days in the studio with Rory and Ross yesterday, and it's not exactly pick your feet up day today, is it? It's all action. It's last day of the Premiership, so I'll be glued to the football, and somewhere in between there along the afternoon is a good card at Leopardstown.
Yeah, it's, as you said, you get the odd Sunday that's a bit uninspiring, a bit drab. This certainly isn't one of them. Of course, we've got fantastic action over in France as well, and two decent jumping cards from Plumpton and from Ludlow. But we're going to look at the Leopardstown card. As I said, a lot of star performers returning here or trying to prove their credentials, if you like. We'll start at 2.25 with a maiden over 6 furlongs. Money this morning for Primo... How are we saying this one? Is it Primo Uomo?
Yes, Primo Uomo, yeah.
Money for that one from Gerard O'Leary's stable. Pat Smolin takes the ride on that one. Here we go, and Intensa, also pretty popular in the betting, and they're both on race, so that is perhaps significant. But it does have a more open feel to it, this race, than a lot of maidens that we see. Which one do you fancy?
Well, I do like the run off Primo Uomo first time out in a race which has worked out quite well. Of course, that was on the first day of the flat in Ireland. The first race as well, won by Beach Bell from the Prendergast Yard. Beat a horse called a Boana, who went on to win next time out at Cork. And back in the field was a horse called Koto, who I tipped next time out on the all-weather at Dundalk, and then left it alone when he won at 33-1 at Nace last time out, flooring one or two big names. So that race has worked out a treat. The speed figure was good, and I like the way Primo Uomo finished off his race. He was held up towards the rear, but he started very, very strongly from an unpromising position to finish never near a third. He's obviously been waiting, or say he, Gerard O'Leary's trainer, has been waiting for a 6 furlong race with a bit of cut in the ground, and he's managed to find one. There is going to be plenty of cut in the ground today at Leopardstown, by the way, just before we move on. They've had plenty of showers in the area. I've got a friend in the area, and he's told me it's been lashing down all morning, so expect a massive going change. It won't be good. It'll probably be more yielding to soft, and the rain is set to continue. So I'll definitely suit this horse. And obviously not knowing anything about Here We Go or Intensa, I think he's better than all the ones that have run. So we're going to have to go with Primo Uomo.
Okay, Primo Uomo, the pick there in the 2.25. Next up, the 2.55. It is the Amethyst Stakes, a Group 3 contest over a mile. They go without number 4, Ansgar, and number 5, Dandy Boy. I should also say number 8, She's Complete, was an absentee there from the 2.25. It's one of those races where, depending on if the ground is soft enough, you could see Penitent running a big race. Mustajib down at the bottom there for Dermot Weld and Pat Smullen. Is popular in the market, does have a long absence to overcome, but is certainly one of the more interesting runners in this. What do you fancy?
Well, now the rain has come, it certainly opened up a few more options in this race. I was obviously concerned that the ground might not be soft enough for QE when I was looking at this race yesterday, and also Penitent as well, as you mentioned. But now we're likely to get plenty of cut in the ground, to the extent I'm not sure, but it's certainly going to be on the softer side than the official description. Then they're back in the game. They're very much players, particularly Penitent, who will probably make the run in here. His best force in the issue when the ground soft over a mile. And he ran well last time out in a good Group 2 race at Sandown when he got beat by Monty Ridge and Tullius. I mean, that's really good form. So he's definitely back in the mix. Kiwi, of course, made all to win here on his seasonal reappearance. Bizarrely for a street cry, he actually enjoys a bit of cutting the ground. I thought he got the run of the race that day, John Ox's Charge, and this will be different. And obviously Kings Barnes wasn't fully tuned up either, so whether he's quite good enough, I wouldn't be sure. There's been masses of money for Muster Gem this morning. Muster Jeeb, who did a fantastic number at Galway at the festival back in July, beating Aidan O'Brien's Friendship quite comfortably in a quick time. And he got beat by Walker Mann in the Futurity Stakes on his sign-off. Weather connections, again, would want ground to change significantly is another mute point. So this is a really, really nasty race. You throw in the likes of Letha Moore, who often runs well at this track without winning. He was third in the Desmond Stakes here last year behind Gordon Lord Byron. And it's a really nasty puzzle to solve. At the prices, I would probably go with Letha Moore. He's a kind of horse I love backing each way in a race like this, where the big guns are all short in the betting and on top of each other. He often causes a surprise, and it's usually at this track. So let's go with Jim Baldry's Letha Moore to cause a bit of an upset in that 2.55.
OK, next up is the 3.25. It is the 1,000 Guineas Trial, a Group 3 contest over a mile. Palace has been backed off the board this morning for Aidan and Joseph O'Brien. But there's a number of interesting contenders here. I mean, you look at the first two in the market in Palace and Stars So Bright, of course, out of See the Stars, and that's a real buzz horse. Mentioned out in the office this morning, just been talking to Darren Owen, and he said that this horse, when winning at Dundalk, saw in the winner's enclosure John Ox and Mick Canam were there. That wouldn't be the most common occurrence for a Dundalk evening meeting, so they must clearly think a fair bit of this one. But as I said, it's hard to discount some of those at bigger prices as well. It's a really nice race.
It is, yeah. I don't think it's the best Guineas Trial we've ever seen. One or two have come from maidens and difficult races to assess, really, because none of them have done any massive speed figures. Obviously, I'm guided towards numbers, and because they've been running in slowly run maidens and sort of quickening off the front and, you know, winning with a beaten hand, none of them have been fully stretched. So you've got to kind of like use a bit of imagination in this race. I certainly take the view take the point on board with Star So Bright. The fact that horse managed to win first time out when largely unfancied all goes well for the future. Again, whether that horse handles the ground, we're presuming it's going to be on the soft side, is open to question. And Afternoon Sunlight as well is another horse who had a fairly big reputation last year, and she was a good second to My Titania at this track towards the back end in a very good main. Of course, My Titania is a live classic contender for this season. She made a good start to the campaign this year, winning at Limerick from a good ride from Pat Smullen off the front. So those are the two big See the Stars bloodlines on show here. But I'm going to go with Aidan O'Brien's filly, Palace, who was a little bit of a disappointment first time out, perhaps to those that backed her into 11-8. But I don't think Aidan O'Brien, knowing the way he operates, would have been too upset with that. Because she didn't probably handle the really heavy ground first time out. She went into the race with a big reputation and couldn't quite cope as they quickened off the front, and she was just left founding a little bit on the ground. But Joseph O'Brien really looked after her on that occasion, and that kindness was rewarded when she made no mistake second time up at Navan the other day, when again very heavily backed. I thought she won with tons in hand on that particular occasion, showing that she doesn't certainly mind that plenty of cutting the ground, and she'd come on for that run first time out. She knew much more what to do. And the way she lengthened away in that latter stage of that race in quite a quick time suggests that she certainly could be up to running in pattern company. Certainly Aidan O'Brien thinks that. And with her experience around this track already under her belt, and now with a little bit more experience, I'd expect Palace to come through and put her classic credentials on the line.
OK, Palace the pick there in the 1,000 Guineas Trial. Next up is the 3.55, which is the Derby Trial. A mile and 2 furlongs of the trip for this Group 3 contest, and they go without Obliterator. Joint favourites at the time of recording, both from 2-1 into 11-8, Geoffrey Chaucer and Fascinating Rock for the O'Brien and Weld teams, respectively. But it's hard to rule a few of these out. There's some nice form being showed by quite a few of these, but it does seem to be between the front two in the market. Is that the view that you take?
Possibly, yeah. I must admit, I'm a big fan of Fascinating Rock. I thought he might just need the run first. I remember previewing that race that he won here, and having watched his first run at Leopardstown when he was fifth behind Adelaide, I thought, he's going to need a little bit more time, and maybe further than a mile and a quarter, given that he looked a little bit of a one-paced, one-dimensional horse. But to be fair, last time I've had to change my view of him when he won the Ballysacks at Navan. He absolutely cruised through that race, went through it like a very good horse, and Pat Mulinone really needs to shake the reins at him in the latter stages and to just set him alight and win by a very, very comfortable 2.5 lengths. It could have been further, to be honest, that winning margin over Ansett, who was sent off favourite that day after winning a Curragh Maiden. But he ran still as though he's probably learning on the job. He's still a little bit green, that son of Authorised. I definitely think we haven't seen the best of Anson, by the way. And I don't think he's a million to one to run well here. He's been chucked about sort of 11, 12 to one this morning. I think that's an overreaction. But that race has worked out a treat, hasn't it, that Navan race? We saw Kingfisher, who was fifth, win at Chester this week. The time of the race is good. His final closing sectionals were very good as well. He ran the last four or five furlongs 2 seconds quicker than Palace did, who won the concluding maiden. So I think this Fascinating Rock's probably got more about him than I previously reckoned. And I think he'll beat Geoffrey Chaucer today, largely because he's got a fitness advantage, he's got track advantage as well. He's won here before. And I also think Geoffrey Chaucer needs fast ground as well. He's a typical Montjeu. He likes to stride out on quick surface. He does carry his head a little bit high as well, which is also a bit disconcerting. I'm just not sure he's going to be good enough to beat Fascinating Rock today under the prevailing conditions. So a real strong bout here for Dermot Wells, Fascinating Rock.
Okay, Fascinating Rock in the Derby trial. Next up, the 4.25. A handicap over 7 furlongs, where we don't have the quality that we've seen in the previous few races, but that doesn't make it any easier to find a winner. Really, really tricky handicap. Melvin the Greathead's Affairs at the time of recording has been back from 5s into 4s for Johnny Murta. Richard Hughes is an eye-catching jockey booking on that one, the ex-Balding horse, of course, but really, really open. The only one that won't be winning is Carenza. That's a non-runner, number 14. Which one do you fancy here, Andy?
I'm not as mad keen on Melvin the Great as the market suggests. He's been well back this morning, but I think the overnight rain could be a bit of a concern for him. I'm not really sure he's a genuine soft ground horse, and by the time they run this race, he's obviously going to be on the easy side, and they're going to be getting their toe in. He ran okay first time, I don't know. So just left the impression he needed the run, because he faded late on. He certainly had the run of the race that day. He was drawn low and you needed to be up with the pace that day. Everything was off the front and intensical, I think, made virtual the running. So it was quite disappointing to see him finish so tamely. So at the prices, I'm going to pass him over, and I really do like this Harley's Harley, Arthur Moore's filly. She loves it here at Leopardstown. She won her second race in her career here last season in pretty convincing style. She actually did it from the front that day, which is almost like totally different to how she's been ridden so far this season. She was dropped out the back door on her seasonal reappearance at this track over 7 furlongs and had never any chance of winning that day, to be perfectly honest, when she was well fancied in the market. But it was much more like what she's capable of doing last time out at Tipperary when she came from last to first again. It's quite an extraordinary run at Tipperary the other day when she had nothing behind her with 2-3 furlongs to run, and Franbury brought her down the outside and she literally went by the field as if they were standing still. So she's got a massive turn of foot, this horse, and the form's worked out well. Dashwood, Gem Bat, even the 10th, Foyshirock, who reapposed again today, they've all won since. The speed figure was good, and her sectional times in the final 3-2 furlongs, as you'd imagine, were very, very good for a horse of that grade. Whether Franbury can get him into a challenging position in this short home straight here at Leopardstown is the only slight concern. Sometimes it's off the front here at Leopardstown, and sometimes they do come up the middle when the ground eases, and that's sometimes the place to be. And if they do swing wide into the home straight, that stall 14 won't be such an inconvenience. So everything pans out nicely for Harley's Harley, i.e. ground, and she gets the run of the race. I think she can run over the top of these lot. I don't think there's as many horses in this race who's got the same turn of foot that she has in the finish.
OK, Harley's Harley, the pick there in the 4.25. Next up is the 4.55, a handicap over a mile and a half. One of the more open races of the day, this one. You've got a mix of horses that have been mixing it over hurdles and those that have been racing exclusively on the flat. Put them all together and it's quite a tricky betting proposition, Andy.
I actually like this race from a betting perspective, funny enough.
Well, you will, because it's 9-2 the field and yeah, you can each way, can't you?
Yeah, I fancy a couple against the field here. We can tell that the ground's going to be soft because the two fast ground all-weather horses are out, Carried and Taurine Legend, so connections obviously feel as though the ground's going to be no good to their charges. So we're going to be saying this ground's going to be run on soft ground, aren't we? 4.55. They've had four or five races on it already. So you want something that's A, handled the ground before. And if another positive would if they've handled the track as well and they come here fifth. So you've got three or four criteria to look at. And the two that stand out to me are Trina Kayla from the Jessica Harrington stable and also Chicago as well from the Pat Shanahan yard. Now, these two horses have been in really good order of late. Trina Kayla, running that race at Tipperary, which I've been banging on about for quite a while now, is won by a horse called Cliffhouse, who hasn't run subsequently. In fact, the first three haven't. I'm just waiting for them with bated breath. But the fourth one the other night down in Clonmel, that was Newellen from the Ox Camp, and Truly Delightful landed a touch with the podcasters last week at Gowran at 20-1. That finished fifth. So Trina Kayla, who finished sixth, carrying 10 stone, was another horse that I was looking to get with next time out. She finished her race off quite nicely without being unduly punished. She goes well on soft ground. She rounded off her campaign last year with a good third in that race that our Connor made his flat to reappearance. He finished fourth, ill-fated Desi Hughes charge, but that was a good race. Ancient Sands and Stony Grey were in good form at the time. So she's got soft ground form. She's got the run under her belt and a very fast time down in Tipperary. Yards in great form. She's about 6-7-1 this morning. I think Trina Kayla's number one on the list. But the other one, the Chicago. Now, this horse comes out of that very, very good race down in Musselburgh the other day. Johnny Delta won the race, but Savino has won the second. Special Meaning went to Goodwood and won. Angel Gabriel, who was fourth, that was unlucky in the Chester Cup. Nick Lark, who was sixth, that's won since. So the form of that race is unbelievable. And Chicago was last turning in, and in the face of it, did really well under 9-10 to finish never near a seventh, only beating three lengths. This horse has been running really well throughout the winter as well. Fourth to Vator in a Grade 2 race at Punchestown in the Moscow Flyer. He won at Limerick very easy early on in the season as well on heavy ground. So he's hard fit. He's got form here at the track. And he also liked the conditions. So Chicago, at an incredible 14-1, makes up my two-pronged attack in that 4.55.
Okay, Chicago and Trina Shale out there in the 4.55. The final race that we'll look at is the 5.25. It is a maiden over a mile and a half. And Maracouche is all the rage here for John Ox. Coming up against an unraced Aidan O'Brien charge in Felix Mendelssohn. It would probably look to be between those two in this one, Andy, that the others have got bits and pieces of form that look okay. Gambrinus could be interesting for the Weld team. But what do you think lands the lucky last?
That's the one I like, Gambrinus. Okay. Yeah, I really do like this horse. I'm not as convinced of this Marrakesh as the market suggests. I've seen him a couple of times now. He's just looked a bit... I don't know. Whether he's got beaten by very good horses and he's made to look ordinary or he's just ordinary, only time will tell. If he gets beat again today, then you can definitely put him in the dusty bin. He probably did get beat by a good horse last time at the Sinkar, but his finishing effort was a bit tame. I do think that horse at Beaton, by the way, that Dermot Weld horse, is all right. But yeah, the jury's still out for me, this horse, at a short price. I don't mind backing a horse like Maracouche if they're value, but at 6-4, up against one or two nice types, I just don't want to go in with a horse that priced up so sparingly. So I'm going to go with this Gambrinus, who caught the eye incredibly on his run here last year on soft ground. Now, he ran like a horse who definitely needs a mile and a half at the very least. Dermot Weld has obviously waited for the right race for him. He's going to have his ground because he's a big, heavy-topped horse that hits the ground quite hard. And, he ran with a massive amount of promise in that race. It was won by Blue Hussar. He certainly wasn't unduly punished. He was unfancied. He went up the inside rail and he never got a clear run, but boy, did he catch the eye. And I've just been waiting for him all season. He pops up here and he's a nice price. I think the favourite's beatable. Obviously, I don't know anything about the owner, Brian Horse. But providing there's nothing else in the race, it doesn't appear to be, judged by the market activity this morning. And this Gambrinus has got to be in the frame. So each way, Gambrinus in the last.
Okay, Gambrinus the pick there in the last from Leopardstown, the 5.25. Great stuff, Andy. Should be a great day's racing at Leopardstown. Let's hope that you've given us a winner or two there. And we'll catch up with you later on in the week.
It'll only be great if the horses run well.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.